Welcome to Home Group. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm here today with the Denise Renner. Hey, welcome, sweetheart.
Hi, Rick. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad to be with you.
And the Joel Renner.
And I'm so glad to be here, too. Thank you, and thank you for being with us.
All right, Joel, tell us what you do in this ministry.
In this ministry, I help Mom and Dad, my wonderful parents, fulfill the call of God in their life in the English-speaking language. And so in the English-speaking world, Dad is called to write, and so he writes every day. And it's a big part of our ministry, publishing books. And we really do believe that the Word of God is going to change people's lives. In fact, every order that goes out the back door of our office, we pray over, because we believe that the Word of God is going to change people's lives. This is not just words on a piece of page. This is information that could change your life. And so that's a big part of our ministry, writing books. Also, we broadcast in English language all over the world. And people call our office every day.
From everywhere in the world.
And it is just an honor to pray with people. We ask people to pray with us. We ask people if they need prayer. And people call us, and we pray together.
And if you need prayer, call back with praise reports.
Absolutely. Pages. Every week we get pages of praise reports. It's a miracle. And if you need prayer, please do call us. We believe in the power of prayer. But those are probably the two main branches of what we do to reach out to people in English language.
You know, in addition to writing books, I produce study guides. You know why? Because I'm believing for a revival of the Bible in the church. In the charismatic world, they don't have Sunday school. Now, when Denise and I were growing up, we went to Sunday school. And if you're a good Baptist, you're going to read your Sunday school lesson before you get to church. All right, Denise, did you read yours?
I did, and I got to check off that thing on my...
It was on the offering envelope. On the offering envelope, there were little boxes. Read my Sunday school lesson. Attended church. Went to training union.
Yes.
Went to visitation.
Well, I didn't go to visitation.
I was able to check all the boxes. The Renners did everything. But I always read my Sunday school lesson, and we even had a training union lesson. We had so much material. And because of that, we were really taught the Bible. Well, guess what? The charismatic world doesn't have anything like that. They don't even have Sunday school. For a while, they had home groups. Now people don't even really have home groups anymore. So the whole concept of a small group where people are studying the scripture together, it's almost disappeared. But for those who do, they need a way to study. And I thought, you know what? Charismatics don't have Sunday school lessons, but I can write study guides. So every series that I teach, we can put out a study guide, and they can go through the material, and it can really become like their Sunday school lesson or their home group lesson. And Joel, I think by the end of this year, we're going to have over 200 study guides.
Very close to it.
And people really are using them. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing?
It's amazing, and it's an honor that we get to give away a PDF version of every single one of them.
Every single one. And Joel, denominational churches are using them.
It's just an honor.
I'm thinking of a big Methodist church right now. Their Wednesday night service, they use my study guides as a guide for the Wednesday night service. And that is such a privilege. Isn't that amazing, Denise?
That is wonderful.
How in the world do we get on this? Oh, we're talking about what you do in the ministry.
That's right. But another big part of our ministry, and it's always been a big part of our ministry in the English-speaking world, is partner care. We really believe in taking care of our partners.
We do.
And following up with them and praying with them and believing with them. And they are just the most wonderful people. So those are the main parts of our ministry in the world.
And that's what you oversee.
Yes, sir.
And you've got a wonderful team in Tulsa that works with you. And I'm so grateful for every one
Absolutely.
Of them. And we're grateful for you, because we're able to do what we do because of what you do. That's not just a cliche. That is really the truth. And so we want to say thank you for being a partner. And if you're not a partner, please become a partner. We need you, because we're reaching people all over the world. It takes a lot of resources to do that. It's a miracle every month that we're able to do it. Is that the truth?
It is. It is. The Great Commission is true. God, Jesus, told us to go out and preach the gospel that ends the earth. And that takes every single resource we have and all the faith we have to do it. And we're very grateful for all the partners who stand with us as we do that.
Well, this month, we have released the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. I work really hard on this interpretation, and the footnotes are a treasure. Really, the footnotes are such a treasure. But this is the RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter. We've already came out with Jude and James. Next is going to be 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's almost finished. I'm really working hard on it. But today I want us to open 1st Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 9, are you ready? And he's talking about relationships in the body of Christ and how you should talk to each other and how you should not talk to each other. And Peter says in verse 9 in the King James Version, Joel, would you read it? Verse 9.
Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railings for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that thee should inherit a blessing.
Well, notice how it begins at the very first of verse 9, not rendering evil for evil. What in the world does that mean? Well, listen to what the RIV says. Here's the RIV. You absolutely must not try to get even, get revenge, or pay someone back for what he or she did to you or someone else. Don't try to settle the score by repaying somebody. Is that amazing? And Denise, that's really what the Greek says. Let me read to you from the footnotes, 570. The words, you absolutely must not try to get even, get revenge, or pay somebody back for what he or she did to you or to someone else. Don't try to settle the score by repaying, are translated from the form of the Greek word apodidomi. The word apo means back. The word didomi means to give or to return. But when you put these two words together, the word carries the idea to give back, to return, to repay, or to retaliate. It pictures one who wishes to get back at, pay back, to get even with, or exact revenge against someone for a wrong he or she committed. Hence, the word means to settle the score. You know what? You don't have room for that in your life. That's a lot of emotion. It's negative. It doesn't help you. Doesn't help anybody else. And we are clearly instructed not rendering evil for evil. Denise?
Well, my mom always said, two wrongs don't make a right.
Oh, that's good.
My mom always said that. So when someone does you wrong, and then we do them wrong, that doesn't make it right. It just causes more confusion, more fuel to the fire. And a lot of times people separate in their relationships over things like that, over misunderstandings. And that's a really sad thing, Rick, when people who love each other and because of words and accusations, they don't walk together anymore.
You know, sometimes people say, well, what am I supposed to do? They did something wrong to me. I'm not supposed to respond. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you just let it go. That's all said.
Well, Rick, it says not just let it go. It says, but contrawise, blessing.
Blessing, but we're going to get there in just a minute.
Well, you got to say that.
Okay, but then it says, the King James Version says, or railing for railing. So you're not supposed to rail people. What does that mean? Okay, here it is. The RIV interprets it like this. Don't try to settle the score by repaying someone for his or her bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behavior by exchanging bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behavior. Wow. And footnote number 572 says, the words by exchanging are a translation of the Greek word anti, which here depicts doing something in exchange for what someone else has done to you. It is the equivalent repayment or proportional recompense for something has done to you. Settling the score, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to do to you exactly what you did to me. And then footnote 573 says the words bad, evil, malicious, rotten attitudes and behavior are from a form of the Greek word kakos. The word kakos means just that. It means just that. Wow. But it goes on to say in the RIV, if someone, now this is going to apply to you, if someone has verbally abused, berated, damaged, debased, harassed, humiliated, insult, or misused you or someone else. Do not make it your business to pay him or her back with the same kind of verbal abuse. That is really what it says. And I'm going to read to you footnote number 574. The words, verbally abused, berated, damaged, debased, harassed, humiliated, insulted, or misused, are a form of the Greek word which was used to describe one who feels verbally abused, berated, damaged, debased, harassed, humiliated, hurt, ill-treated, insulted, imposed upon, wrongfully mishandled, misused, oppressed, victimized, or violated. But it primarily has to do with inappropriate verbal behavior. Now, it's not right when people treat you wrong. Of course it's not right. But when that happens, don't allow yourself to be dragged into a verbal war. Just don't allow yourself to do that. You say, well, how do I refrain? Well, a great verse is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, there's a time to embrace, and there's a time not to embrace. There's a time to speak, and there's a time not to speak. And sometimes when you're in a really difficult conversation and it's getting ugly, it's better just to back up. Take a pause. Remember, the law of sowing and reaping always works. That person's going to reap what they're doing to you. You don't want to get involved in that reaping cycle. You don't want to sow the same filthy words, because it's going to come back to you. And if you sow kindness instead of all that other stuff, you're going to reap a harvest of kindness, Denise.
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, how people say, well, what am I supposed to do? And of course, Rick just said, you know, to back away, but...
And to forgive.
And forgive, but it says to bless. And Jesus said to bless your enemy, pray for those who despitefully use you. And there is a high level of love inside of us that Jesus calls us to that is higher than, let it go, I just forgive. But contrawise,
blessing.
That's a very different than just, well, you're out of my life and I'm more peaceful without you. Blessing. I know people who have been very wounded by somebody else, and they jumped over that and said, how can I bless you? I want to bless you. Because a lot of times you forgive that person and you want to do right, but it seems to not be working. But Jesus said to go farther, go into blessing that person.
And Romans chapter 12 says we're to overcome evil with
good.
Good. But listen, then the King James Version says, but contrariwise blessing. Let's talk about that word contrariwise. On the contrary. The RIV says, but on the contrary, that is, on the furthest opposite end of the spectrum.
Wow.
In other words, you move away from that behavior as far as you can. Don't get dragged in that. But on the contrary, on the furthest opposite end of the spectrum, are you ready for this? Blessing. The RIV says you must speak a blessing in response to that person. You know what? If you just obey these verses, you're going to be really hard working on your spiritual life. Joel, what do you think about that?
I think the Bible is not always the easiest to follow, but it's the right thing to follow.
It's the right thing.
And Jesus said, you know, if someone hits you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And that really really matches with what we're hearing here.
Well, the words speak a blessing are interpreted from a form of the Greek word eulogia. The word eu means good. The word logia means to speak. When you put the two words together, it means to speak good, swell, or well words with the intention of conveying, imparting, or invoking blessings and prosperity. The verse thusly and importantly reveals that blessings are released through words and must be verbally expressed if those blessings are to be conveyed or imparted. Therefore, if the intended blessing has not been verbally spoken, The blessing has not been transferred. It means not enough just to think, that person blesses me. Blessings have to be spoken. It's eulogia, something good that is spoken. This is really very important. It's not enough just to say, or to think to yourself, that person, I'm going to really bless that person. You got to speak it. Blessings are conveyed with words. And now this says, on the contrary, on the furthest opposite end of the spectrum, rather than get dragged into a war of words, you must indeed speak a blessing in response to that person. Honey, that is really good instruction. And the King James Version goes on to say, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And the RIV says it like this. I love the RIV, Denise. It is for this very purpose that you have been prestigiously called. Don't go down to a low level. Remember, you've been prestigiously called. Don't bow to the low road. Don't go that low, ugly direction. Remember, you've been prestigiously called. Remember who you are. You've been prestigiously called that you should be the recipients of blessings. Denise?
Well, I'm thinking about that. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And you want to be the one sowing blessing. And also, I was thinking, Rick, that you're saying that we were prestigiously called. Well, then Jesus called us to that place, and he anointed us to that place. And so inside of us was the love of God. When you got saved, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So inside of us is the power to do what we're reading today. And you know, a powerful thing is to say, you know, Lord, I not to say, I can't do this, I won't do this, but Lord, help me do this.
Yes.
Lord, you've given me this power.
Yes.
And Lord, when I haven't done this, Lord, I confess it to you, it's sin, because you just said for me to do it.
Yes.
And when you say that, you make a place for God to move. Mm-hmm. But if we just act like, and that's being religious, just act like that, that's for somebody else, well, then we're missing the blessing. We're missing the opportunity to become a blessing to those who rail against us and hurt us.
And Denise, the next verse really tells us the power to not go to the low level and to maintain the high level, it's in our hands. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:10. Joel, would you read it in the King James Version? 3:10.
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile.
Which means if you want to have a good life, a life that you love, and if you want to see good days, well, here's the instruction. Refrain your tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Okay, guys, I want you to hear the RIV. The RIV is really powerful. For the person who fully intends to have a life that is full of gusto and zest, that is a life really worth having and loving.
Well, I want that. I'll take it.
Isn't that powerful?
No.
And who wishes to see and personally experience really good and profitable days, times, and seasons in life. Here's the instruction. Let him make sure his tongue refrains and ceases from speaking evil. If a person wants to have a life filled with gusto and zest, that is a life really worth having and loving, blessed, he must purposely put distance between himself and evil, and that includes, listen to this, Denise, that includes watching what he says, no longer allowing his mouth to spew reckless words or to converse in such a way that baits others and drags them into negative conversation. You know, you can just bait people to drag them into a fight. But Peter says, hey, if you want to have a life worth having and loving, don't do this. You need to refrain from it. If you're doing it, you need to cease from it. make sure that you don't spew reckless words or converse in such a way that baits others and drags them into negative conversations. Joel?
Well, I think that a lot of people work themselves up with their own words, and they create their own weather. And their weather, what they say with their words, puts clouds in their house. And the whole household is just all upset. And I think it can all be solved if some people just shut their mouth.
That's the truth.
And I think those clouds will just go away and there'll be peace. You know, the Bible says, put away the scoffer and the scoffing will decease.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not scoffer, it's the...
Put away the scoffer and the fire will go out.
And so sometimes it's all about one person who's just stirring the waters.
Well.
And if we can get those people out of our lives, and if that's us, let's deal with ourselves. But I think the people we surround ourselves with matters almost as much as what we say about ourselves.
By the way, you just heard a very Russian statement from Joel when he says people make their own weather. That's a Russian statement. And isn't it true? People make their own weather. You determine whether you're going to have real peaceful, wonderful weather. And you, with your emotions and your words, you can make a real storm. What kind of weather do you want to make, Denise?
Well, I'm thinking about my School of Cinderella because I've taught...
What is the School of Cinderella?
School of Cinderella is teaching wives. I've been doing this for 17 years. And I have a book called Who Stole Cinderella. But it's really about becoming the powerful woman that you are in your home. And one of the ways that we can become powerful, and I even say that in the book, of course I'm teasing, but to put duct tape over your mouth. If you're tempted to be critical or complaining or teaching your husband. And I've gotten testimonies from ladies who have said, in fact, I'm thinking of one, and she said...
Did she put duct tape on her mouth?
Well, I don't think she put duct tape on her mouth, but she closed her mouth for a whole week. And she said, you know, that was the most peaceful... the most peaceful week I've had in my marriage. She said, I think it might have something to do with my complaining and my teaching and my criticism.
Honestly, when you speak negatively, you don't just upset the other person, you stir yourself up.
Yeah.
You really make your own weather. But anyway, Peter says, if you want to have a life worth having and loving, refrain from and cease from just letting your mouth run. Well, we all want to have a life worth having.
Yes.
And a life that is filled with gusto and zest. And
yes. You do too.
And Father, in Jesus' name, help us to obey these scriptures. Lord, this is enough to work on for months. Help us to apply it in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And Rick, I have a word of knowledge. There's someone listening right now, and you've had some problems in your eyes, and it's causing your eyes to just itch and water all the time. And the power of God is right there to touch you right now.
Yes.
That's right. Just receive it right now.
Amen.
And there's someone else, you've had some kind of a rash or something, and it's on your arm. And you've been to the doctor, and the power of God right now, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in the room with you right now, is touching your skin.
Yes.
Just receive that loving touch from Him.
Yes. Amen. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you in the next home group.
Please like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends so more people can see it.